Hello, welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I've been struggling with pipe issues.
Yes, there was a slightly panicked text message yesterday. Does anyone know a plumber?
Yeah.
Have you found plums?
He's coming tomorrow.
Oh,
he's
is he?
He's coming tomorrow. He assures me he is a plumber.
Right.
Because I put it on supersosed.cz.
Okay.
Being like, anyone deal with taps here? It's not coming out of the tap spout. It's coming out of the base of it, though. And it's one of those taps that's, you know, in the corner of your bathroom that people use to do things like connect showers and hoses and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
So like a tap in the actual bathtub, or
No, like an auxiliary tap. So one that's out of the wall.
Right. Okay.
So,
I see. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I've been able to, you know, I didn't know I had my own individual water meter, so I can turn off my own water, not the
whole
building.
So you can isolate just you.
Yes,
yeah.
And it is just from my water supply. It's not from anyone else, you know, dripping down, but you know, just a real pain.
Welcome to Sprov Taps, the plumbing institution and advice show. That was good.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that.
Well, you will see this on Sprovcast Facebook, that there are screeds of people who message in just going, "How's Sam?" So,
yeah.
You know, I just, you know, wanted to, you know, some people are just interested.
So, yeah, okay, good. A lovely Sam update there.
On the subject of also things that leak, Sprovka, I've got a defence that's been looking a bit shugly recently.
Yeah, good, yeah. We're gonna tap into some of those issues in a while. We've got
you're allowed to have one tap joke. Try not to force it.
Marvelous. That's the kind of content that you're not even paying for, listener. So we've got
get that Patreon.
Two match reports, two previews, Beer of the Podcast, and Hot or Not. It's a fairly standard issue of Sprovcast, and let's launch into it right now. Two weekends ago, it was Sprovka in a top-of-the-table clash against Vyshkov. Vyshkov being very Vichy in the table at that point. Yes, top, in fact. And
I was only a point behind.
Yep. Now more than that, because we lost.
Yes, it wasn't a very good game, David.
No, the first word I have written in my kind of notes is shite.
It was a shite game.
It was
a shite game if you're a Sprovka fan. If you were a Vyshkov supporter, you'd be very pleased.
Yep.
Not just because, obviously, of the result and things like
Kane
that.
Kane did the job, went home. Lovely.
Yes. And I think that they played reasonably well for it, despite maybe not creating as many chances as some, you know, some would suggest from, you know, how free-scoring they are and the way they sort of play.
Yeah.
But really, it was one of those sorts of games, you know, 5 o'clock on a Saturday as well, where I don't know if everyone had just gone out on Friday night or whatever, because it's a later kickoff, but just didn't really show up for it.
No, not a single shot on target.
Is that right? I thought we had one.
We had one that went in but was ruled out for offside.
Bloody
it
hell.
Was,
oh, so we did, yes.
Yeah,
so we did.
Presnicek scored, but it was very offside.
Second half, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I remember this now.
It's basically a bit of a calamity. Not a single shot on target. Shural injured early doors.
Yeah. So that's both Shural and Endel out, which is our preferred centre-back pairing.
Yeah, I mean, Endel didn't start, nor did Texel, Gashchik, Divišek, or Pachlotnik, who have been making his comeback in the reserves. They were all out due to this mysterious illness that's been sweeping through the squad, and it's what decimated the squad for the Opava trips.
But it was 11 players out, I think.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Martin Novi is now on the long-term injury list, having played only 3 games so far this season. So, yeah, pretty ropey, and a pretty ropey result with a fairly thin squad. So, you know, you can forgive them to some extent, but to be that lacking in creativity or guile at home in a top-of-the-table clash is
and top-of-the-table clash with a quite healthy crowd as well, because it was
just under 5,000, 4,700.
Yeah, it was the weather was nice enough, if I recall.
As it still is, UK listeners, it's still very much summer here.
In the it's October 3rd.
Yeah, he says cursing it immediately.
So, the weather's been superb recently. And it was nice, it's always nice in this division to see a bit of away fan, you know, presence, basically. Yeah. That's a strange way to word it, but they took about 150 or something
that. It was a fairly decent number.
I mean, a short trip, obviously.
From just up the road, yeah.
I mean, 30 minutes by train, if that. And it was good to see them sort of give it a bit, you know, when at full time and sort of give it out, because I absolutely would be giving it out as well. they look competent. Vyshkov, they will no doubt be up there at the end of the season. The question on that sort of performance and with that sort of squad depth would be Wilsbrojovka be?
Indeed. We're still only 4 points off first, but we are in danger of losing touch with the top two, who currently are Vyshkov and Dukla, because we're three points behind Dukla and only 1 point ahead of this sort of between... sort of fourth and seventh place, which is this rampaging mob of, you know, Tabor and, you know, and people like that who are absolutely nipping at our heels. And you don't want to be dragged into that pack and see the top two sort of piss off into the distance.
Particularly since, and we'll get onto this, we're actually going to be playing one of that emerging chasing pack next week. Opava being, you know, also, you know, one of those groupings as well. The one thing that annoys me just very quickly on squad depth is that we have quite a big squad.
And we do.
If the, you know, players we have that could be or are seen as rotation players come in and are that poor, then it's going to be a little bit of a problem, I think, going forward.
Yeah, we had a pretty makeshift squad against Opava for the league game, as we will see later on. But honestly, in this one, it was the same old Zbrojovka as last year. We conceded a Zbrojovka special after 18 minutes. Set piece from a free kick by Shimon Falter, who absolutely knows where our weaknesses are, having played for
us last year.
Just launched a ball from the sort of edge of the area into the box, an unchallenged header. Gets pinged beyond Martin Berkovets. It's an absolute Zbrojovka special of a goal to concede. And we spend an hour and 10 minutes huffing and puffing, really.
It looked like it was coming, and then it came. Then it stopped. Though, I mean, we sort of started to look a little bit sprightly, honestly, with about 4 minutes to go in the whole game. And this was... I had just a feeling that we would just... you might, you know, if you take... cast your minds back two, three seasons ago, where we rescued a point in the 94th minute at home to Vyshkov after there was the Winter goal for them. I think it was a penalty in like the 85th minute. And then what happened was we ended up, you know, sort of just like somehow getting a point. I thought we were possibly due to, you know, get an undeserved equaliser. But actually... that wouldn't have made sense because we didn't have any chances. And then at the end of it, it was just long balls. One thing I will say, and this is maybe slightly counterintuitive because it was just a last minute sort of thing and it's something to do with the defence. But I thought actually Shural's replacement, Yerzy Hamza, for an 18-year-old that I don't believe ever had an appearance for the senior team, I thought he coped reasonably well. I thought he was quite good.
They have high hopes for... Yerzy Hamza. He was a mainstay of the B squad last year, and he made the occasional bench end of last year, and I think they are looking at him as a possible, not sure our replacement maybe, but certainly as very capable backup this season. So yeah, he's been on the kind of youth team radar for quite a while now.
Someone that'll work their way into the squad very same way that Endel did.
Yes, exactly. The one person who obviously will be affected by this, as we've said, is long-term, you know, recent signing and long-term injury, Martin Novi. Mm-hmm. But the one good thing for him is that there is a lovely game that I have devised to play if you'd like to indulge me.
What's the name of the game?
Let's play The Best of Bon Jovi with Martin Novi.
I dislike Bon Jovi.
You're not a fan of Bon Jovi?
I'm not a huge fan.
No, nor am I, really.
Bon Jovi.
But
so.
Our fullback is, as we know, a big fan of stadium hair metal. So he wants to know, are these songs by Bon Jovi or are they not by Bon Jovi? You're going to get five song titles. They're all real song titles.
Did Bon Jovi do Living on a Prayer? Was that them?
Yes.
Is it Living on a Prayer?
No.
Oh, okay.
These are five genuine song titles. I haven't made any up.
Okay.
So you just have to say, are they by Bon Jovi or not by Bon Jovi?
Oh, they did You Give Love a Bad Name as well, didn't they?
That is not on the list, but yes,
I didn't think it would be because I think I've just named two of their very famous songs.
Yes, you have. Right, number one, Running with the Devil.
That feels very much like that sort of thing. Did they really go into that sort of devil sort of stuff, though?
Well, that's the question.
Because Running with the Devil, to me, sounds like stuff like something like AC/DC or something like that would do. So I will say that that's not a Bon Jovi song.
You're bang on. Apart from not AC/DC, it was Van Halen, but your logic was spot on.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they were very kind of, you know, your mum would like, you know, Bon Jovi stadium rock, you know what I mean?
Soft. What I believe what people used to refer to is that what people used to refer to as cock rock.
No, cock rock is like Motley Crue.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, dreadful.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, Poison. Okay. That sort of thing.
Oh God.
Right. Number two, Captain Crash and the Beauty Queen from Mars.
Now that seems more like it because that seems like they've done some sort of concept record, or something. And that song is absolutely, I don't know whoever did it, but that song is absolutely over 5 minutes long. I'll say that that is a Bon Jovi song.
You're absolutely bang on. I thought that would catch you out because that sounds very much like a sort of Elton John failed project. But yeah.
It feels like people that keep long hair in bands and wear cut off denim jackets, that they would have an idea going, you know what would be great?
Yeah, let's extend this into a 90-minute double disc concept album.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's Captain Crash and the Beauty Queen from Mars, and then Captain Crash Reprise is the last track.
Yeah.
All right, number three, Something for the Pain.
Oh, that could be anyone, though. That's the problem. Mm. That could be anyone. I will say that Something for the Pain. Would this be? Didn't Bon Jovi come back later and start doing very soft, rocky, poppy things that talked about feelings and stuff like that? I'll say it's a feeling song, but is it? But okay, and I'm going to say it's by. I'm going to say it's not by Bon Jovi.
It is by Bon Jovi.
Oh, I was really on the fence.
Yeah. Number four.
Who did it?
Bon Jovi.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I'm just.
Right. Number four. Someday I'll Be Saturday Night.
Oof.
You see, they're all good, like, crap stadium rock titles, aren't they?
I was going to say that that's a Tom Waits song, but it's not. That's called The Heart of Saturday Night. There tends to be a couple in a row in these quiz. I'll say it is.
I'm feeling like a Monday, but someday I'll be Saturday night. It is Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow. Did you have to listen to that song?
No. The first CD I ever bought, and this is why I said
so
it's very much a mum band thing.
Uh-huh.
The first ever CD I was bought when I got my little, you know, CD, like, boombox player when I was a kid was The Best of Bon Jovi, bought purely so my mum could listen to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't have your mum down as a Bon Jovi fan.
It's good driving and singing along music, which she likes.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And finally, number five, The Best of My Love.
Again, it could be anyone.
Could be anyone.
It could be anyone. Like, this is, you know how I think a lot of people get Bon Jovi and Aerosmith mixed up because
Bon Jovi are far better than Aerosmith.
I mean, I think they're both woke. I'll say it's not. I'll say it's an Aerosmith song.
It's not an Aerosmith song. It is a very famous song. It's by the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Another band that I just do not care about at all.
No, they're crap. So that was The Best of Bon Jovi with Martin Novi. Are you happy you played that?
I mean,
sensing not.
I mean, I'll be honest. The it feels like we've we've reached some sort of apex.
There's a much better one coming next week.
Oh dear.
Oh, there's a belter coming next time.
That's what you were doing on this long weekend, wasn't it? Just writing all these
terrible rhyming quizzes. Absolutely.
Is my gran sick with anyway?
With Lucas Gashik.
Yeah.
No.
No, she's dead. Anyway, shout out to my grandmother, by the way, who's very much alive and who's absolutely not listening to this.
Right, something else I was occasionally doing over the weekend was thinking about hot or nots, Sam. Mm-hmm. So let's think about those now. It's hot or not o'clock.
It is.
One each.
One of each this time.
Kablamo. I will start with a not, because okay. It's two club statements. You like a club statement?
I love a club statement. Corner flag and all in the
I didn't actually
graphic.
See the club statement, but I saw it quoted elsewhere. This is last Thursday, 12:06 p.m. A statement from the owner of Scunthorpe United.
Oh, this is terrible, yeah.
The club will vacate Glanford Park after the Brackley Town fixture and fulfil the season's fixtures across at Gainsborough Trinity. Falls in attendance will undoubtedly mean further cuts, and this will inevitably impact the playing squad and promotion aims. Last Thursday, 2:04 p.m. This statement was issued without the knowledge or consent of Gainsborough Trinity. Whilst the club has always been clear that any request from Scunthorpe United to play fixtures at the KAL Group Stadium would be considered, this would always have to be done by due process, which would involve both clubs and the ground owner. The sorry state of Scunthorpe United.
Scunnered for Scunny, basically.
Aye, yeah.
This is an absolute slide, isn't it? Back-to-back relegations, I believe, isn't it, for Scunthorpe? Some, again, mad ownership stuff.
Yeah. Really South End going news. The same way, it looks like, unless they secure an owner by the end of today, I think.
Something like that. As an aside, for a team that's been, and they were docked points as well as part of, you know, their plight. South End look like they've pretty much clawed most of that back already, and they're actually doing a little bit on the pitch. They beat Oldham 4-0, I think, on opening day or something like that. So, best of luck to both sets of supporters who are looking for good ownership. Does this bring the number of teams in Lincolnshire down to like three or something like that?
Lincoln, Boston.
And Grimsby, who play in Cleethorpes.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Which I've always found strange. They've played in Cleethorpes for 100 years or something like that. But there we go.
Yeah, Scunthorpe fans are stealing themselves for
good
future. Raynham Steel.
Quality badge as well, just a massive iron bar that says iron on it, just in case you weren't sure what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a giant refreshers bar.
Yeah, made in Lincolnshire from girders. Right, what do you got for me?
I'll start with a hot. Well, it's a hot for me. It's not always a hot for everyone else. And my hot is Armed Forces Day at Ibrox Stadium.
I knew this would be making an appearance.
Of course it would be. So for those who don't know, a very strange football club known as Glasgow Rangers Football Club have this mad obsession with, well, both the royal family, but also the British Army. So what they do once a year is they have this Armed Forces Day where they just invite a bunch of squaddies to attend the game. There's a bunch of fucking bullshit marching around the pitch. There's a para abseiling down from the stadium and it's this big thing. And, you know, a lot of, squaddies are a supporter of Glasgow Rangers because it ties in very much what the British Army is all about, unionism and this sort of stuff. So when Aberdeen rock up and pump them 3-1, it was a very sad day indeed for His Majesty's forces and indeed cost Michael QPR Beale his job. A charlatan who never should have gone anywhere, got anywhere near a club of that size. It's very, very funny. It also coincides with what has been a miraculous upsurge in Aberdeen Football Club's fortunes ever since the Eintracht Frankfurt game.
Yeah, the absolute opposite of what you predicted there, because you thought you were going to get pumped in Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. Frankfurt.
A
very decent
75 minutes it was for them to get it to 2-1.
Yeah.
We did very well indeed. And then went out, hammered Ross County twice.
Yeah.
In the cup and in the league. And now we go to Ibrox, a place where we don't traditionally do so well. and got 3 points from it.
Yeah,
so,
lovely stuff.
Yes. And
3-1 win for your mob, 3-1 win for my mob. Yeah. It was a good weekend all around at the Zbrojovcast Towers, apart from the actual team that we talk about every episode.
Absolutely. Very much looking forward to going to Greece now as well, because I've got my ticket to see us play Paok.
Lovely.
So I will be eating lots of gyros.
I will give you a hot very quickly. Mm-hmm. I know you like a club statement. I know you like a mascot. And this is mascot violence.
I'm in.
Right. It was the Derby Breton over the weekend. That's Nantes versus Stade Rennais.
Mm-hmm. And the Alolo Derby.
And Erminig, who is a giant white stoat who's the mascot for Rennes.
I was going to say, was that not that owl in Harry Potter?
No, he is a 6.5 foot tall white stoat who is Rennes' mascot.
Erminig.
Yeah. And he rugby tackled Nantes' canary mascot with such violence that the canary had to be stretchered off.
Was there video footage of this?
Oh, yes.
can I please watch the footage?
Yeah, when we're done with this bit, you absolutely can. It's hilarious.
I have it running through my mind what I think is going to happen.
The canary's head comes off. I can tell you that.
Oh, dear. Like it's beamed down some sort of mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
There you go.
See, anything I say is not going to be nearly as good as that now. Oh, that's very, dearie me.
Well, have a go.
Well, all right. So, I mean, I've got a very just... This one's not funny. This one is just, you know. So, I would go... Well, my not is pretty much every team that's been promoted from the championship this season.
Yes.
With a special mention to...
Sheffield Wednesday. Oh, from the championship, sorry. Yes,
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United. I mean, both Sheffield clubs are absolutely tanking.
I mean, we know. I mean, I take a passing interest in the English league. I don't really engage with it as much as a lot of people do. But you know, they're as poor a team as I've seen, really at that level for some time.
And they're making Gus Hamer sad.
Well, this is true.
Apart from when he got to score at White Hart Lane, that was quite.
I mean, there is a hidden knot in there, a hot in there as well, though, which is that every time Sheffield United lose, you get some fantastic content from Mr. Paul Heckingbottom, who seems like a man who is, I don't know, gripped with the spirit of like, I don't know, some poltergeist or something like that. He's a very strange man.
He has got a selection of tinfoil hats at home that he's made himself.
He's mad.
I guarantee it. He's got a cupboard full of them. He's brilliant.
It's awesome. And I mean, there's going to be, I mean, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday the 3rd of October. There is tonight Luton Town against Burnley.
Burnley.
And that, you know, could possibly, I mean, I will not be watching the game because it could possibly be the worst game ever created because it's, I don't know who wants to go to that game.
Well,
Luton fans, I guess, because they beat Everton.
Yeah. Well, either way, there we go.
At least one of the at least one of that three has won a game.
Luton have.
Yes, Luton, exactly. At least one of them has won a game.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's going to be that many wins this season, the way it's going.
There was a lovely quote on the Totally Football Show where I think it was Michael Cox or somebody saying that Tom Lockyer's goal against Everton was the first Luton Town goal that Carlton Morris has neither scored nor created, but they have only scored 2 goals prior to that. One of them was a Carlton Morris penalty and the other one he set up. So, yeah, dear. Remarkable stuff.
The question, I think, I mean, it's too early to say, but will any of these teams threaten the Derby County record?
Ooh, that is a good question. We'll have to wait and see. It doesn't look like it so far because it's 4 points for, Sheffield United maybe. Anyway, that remains to be seen. Sorry about that. But a bit odd. But let's talk about other people failing to win games at plodding paces as we travel up to Silesia for our game against Opava. Opava Pavard, away. None of us went.
Both of them. Neither of us went.
Yes. Both the cup, in which we lost, was it 3-2?
We lost 3-2.
And then the league, in which we lost 2-1.
Despite taking the lead early, of course. Yes. This is Zbrojovka. Wait, Zbrojovka last season special right there.
Ali Agic scores again after 3 minutes. That is his third in four games, I think.
Yes, he now is.
Hit the ground running, that boy.
Call me Madonna, because that's a ray of light in in the darkness of what's happening with this team right now. He very quick off the mark indeed, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was a... Because of this, like, bug or fever or illness that's going around, it was a pretty makeshift side. The back four was Kojelu, and apparently recovered Endel and two 18-year-olds in Yuri Hamza and Zdeněk Toman.
Yeah.
David Jambor, partnering Cam Somara in midfield, and a front four of Ali Agic, like, as the sort of point. Yeah. Supported by Folsek, Potocny and Kronos, which is...
It's
very second string, isn't it?
So bad. That's...
Yeah, weird. But we were missing, what, like seven or eight...
players that you would be immediately in that team.
Yeah. It seemed like a very bad-tempered game. I haven't seen a lot of it, but there were seven yellow cards, and Adam Cronus managed to get himself sent off as well.
Just to make the situation worse in case that this illness continues. part of me wants to be petty and say thanks to Opava for not agreeing to reschedule this match or these matches, because apparently there was a request which was refused by Opava. But on the other hand, why would you?
Yeah,
because
exactly,
from an Aberdeen perspective, if Celtic came at the door being like, please let us postpone the match, I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
So it would be the same sort of thing. But, I mean, at least we didn't completely roll over. That would be the only thing that I would say about both of these matches. It was looking like it, particularly in the cup. We were 2-0 down after about 20 minutes cup. Also, I just knew that David Vanacek was going to score across one or both of them.
I was
going
to say, it's your boy.
Failed Hearts player, David Vanacek.
Same thing.
The second most popular Czech Heart of Midlothian player.
Yeah, after Jovan.
Rudy Skatzel, who's a genuine Heart of Midlothian legend. So,
yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really have much to say about this, David.
I don't either. Like, I haven't really seen it either. It was... I think it pretty much was what it looked like on paper. We came out the blocks pretty quickly, but then a very inexperienced and probably not massively match fit side. A lot of those players with hardly any minutes under their belt, really, just came up against an Opava side who, A, were at home, B, were coming off the back of beating us 3 days previously, and C, are like fourth or fifth. They're no mugs. So this was absolutely, there is kind of no shame in losing that one.
They look, they look a lot better than last season, but you couldn't really do worse than they did last season. Basically, that's the sort of the problem. As far as I'm aware as well, we haven't, there hasn't really been any news from the club as well about the progression of this illness. If it is something that's going to actually mean that people have gone out, go out for some time or not. So the question is, I think looking forward, is when, if, will we have all these players back in training? Will there be more people that are fit enough for a pretty big game on Friday? Because it's not even, they don't even have an extra day. It's a Friday game.
Yeah, Friday at 5 against Příbram.
Yeah, which is going to be an interesting one, and we'll talk about that later. And part of me just questions as well, when you have so many people out, with some illness, my first thought is it COVID or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that maybe the club would say if it was, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so,
maybe, yeah.
So it's a real mystery there. So really it was, as much as we can, post, snarky tweets or whatever about how the team was, frankly rubbish across two games against Opava, with that squad and with that lack of players, to actually keep it reasonably tight, at least on paper, is actually probably a good thing.
Yeah. The one thing that very much came out of this was when all of the photos of the fans in Opava went up, there was no, yeah, there was no snarkiness there either. I think basically they'd seen a team sort of give as much as they could. There was no like, oh my God, this is shy, this is dreadful. I think, you know, the people who went up there were sort of, you know, all right, fair, decent effort.
Yeah, and the, you know, the guys that go to these games are the guys that, you know, respect where it's due, go to every game as well. They go, you know, up and down the country with this team. And I think that they have...
Yeah, the small sort of coterie of, like, real, like, hardcore fans.
And they have, I think, more understanding than most about... Well, not about everything, but they have... but they have some understanding, of, like, not like the understanding that you would get, for example, if this had happened at home. Because if this happened at home, it would be boos and jeers, and then what would happen, and this could very likely happen, is that we'll have half the attendance on Friday, as we did, you know, the other weekend. Because people have seen what happens on the pitch. Brno Sport fans are notoriously fickle. And, you know, a lot of people after some time have kind of seen enough of this team. And that raises questions that can be asked, for sure. I think that, you know, the most annoying thing about this league generally is this idea that we're supposed to win it at a canter, and some of this stuff is just an eye-bleeding slog. And then you think, well, we've got the, you know, probably the best squad, the most money in this division. Why is it like this? You know, that's not their fault for a change, you know?
Yeah.
So it's these sorts of things that we have to contend with, I suppose.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much that on that.
I'm just going to waffle otherwise, so I think we should move on.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to a, I think, quite interesting potted history of Slezsky FC Opava.
We are back, and I am looking forward to taking a break and drinking my beer.
You've got some of that Proud that I've had a couple of weeks ago.
I've got the Proud Kotel again, nice. The stout. So I will be sitting back and enjoying this while I hear you regale me with the story of SFC Opava.
Thank you very much. Nice introduction there. And here it is, a potted history of Slezsky FC Opava, the Silesian Football Club of Opava. As they proudly proclaim, and
well, they are in Silesia. You
know, yeah, rightly so. They're not wrong. They began life in 1907, and this is where a lot of the weird history comes from, because it's up near the German-Polish border up there. They began life in 1907 as the Troppauer Fußballverein, which is what, you know, Opava in German is Troppau, so that's where they got that from. And later joined forces with the local cycling club to become the multi-sport Deutscher Sportverein Troppau, laying a pitch in the velodrome and sort of going half into, like, redo the cycling thing and put a pitch in the middle, and that's where they played for a bit. In the mid-1920s and the mid-30s, they were successful in the Oberklasse, or Oberliga, depending on what language you spoke, the highest division of the German Football Association of Czechoslovakia.
Oh,
hints of things to come.
This is feeling a bit
not as hints of things to come as an aside. In 1939, a new club was formed.
Okay.
NSTG Troppau, or Nationalsozialistische Turngemeinde Troppau, which you can imagine what that was the club
Well,
for.
I know what that first word means.
Yeah. In 1939, to compete in the fledgling Sudetenland Gauliga.
Of course they did.
And that club mysteriously vanished in 1945. I don't know what happened to them, but yeah, I'm just...
Was that a proper Sudeten league?
Yeah.
Like, did they have to, like, still make, like, just a stupidly long journey to like Heb and stuff like that on the other side of the country, things like that.
Yeah, that would be highly funny if so.
It only existed for the 6 years during wartime, and then it was completely dissolved and everything. Well, you know what
they say, David? That's football. Das ist football.
After the war, SK Slezan Opava was formed, combining two smaller football clubs and the physical education club, the Sokol, that most towns have, becoming Sokol Slezan Opava in 1949. Sure. And in 1950, renaming itself to, prepare yourself for this, this is possibly my favourite, after fucking Clement Gottwald's new smelter last week.
That's tough to get taught, to be fair.
This was Svaz Průmyslujemného Pečiva Opava, or the Fine Pastry Industry Association Club of Opava. The Fine Pastry Industry of Opava.
The Yum Yum Boys.
Yeah. Then from the mid-50s to the end of the 80s, there was a slew of mergers, name changes, promotions, relegations, dissolutions, reformations. Took place as a multi-sports club, and then it was a football club, and then it was a joint stock company and a limited company and various other complicated, dodgy and slightly tedious things that were far, far too long and boring to go into here. However, in 1998, it became SFC Opava, as it is now, and in 2006, the running of the club was taken over by the city of Opava. It became like a branch of municipal government, basically.
Right. What?
Yeah. They basically realised that nobody was fit to run the club. So the city took the club over in 2006 and then spent 10 years trying to get rid of it, trying to sell it off. But they were, I would say, nicely protective of it. There were two major parties who wanted to buy the club. There was a Swiss-Chinese consortium. That sale didn't go through due to, and I checked, quote, ambiguities regarding the investor.
Sure.
Yep. And a Swiss Dubai investment firm, and there was absolutely nothing dodgy about that one either. And they both wanted to get their hands on the club, but yeah, there was nothing doing. So basically,
why do Swiss people want this club so much?
I don't know. But they're now run as part of the city council with a board of directors who are answerable to the council like any other municipal utility would be. So like, if you were, they basically have a sort of board of directors and a, you know, single kind of head, as you would if you like ran the water board or the rubbish collection companies, and you're answerable to the city council as to how you're spending your funds and what you're getting out of it.
So in Opava, there is a possibility that there is a town council meeting where they go in and then the councillors are like, the fuck was that against Sigma B?
The last time, if I remember correctly, was in 2018-19, where they basically replaced the entire board of directors. There was a council vote, and they voted them out and, yeah, replaced them with who they thought were more competent, people to answer to the council of the city of Opava as to why the football club
this is very like a Rude Fezda sort of era of sport, isn't it? This is amazing.
It's bizarre, yeah. Their greatest achievement was probably in 2016-17 when, as a second division club, they made it to the Czech Cup final. They knocked out Slovacko, Plzeň, Zbrojovka and Mladá Boleslav along the way, only to lose the final 1-0 to Zlín, of all people.
Robert Bartolomeu Zlín that season. Yeah. And they, and then they had to... Zlín couldn't afford air travel for their team, so they had to take a coach all the way to play Sheriff Tiraspol.
Mm.
Good times.
They also managed to be given a crack at the Intertoto Cup. You remember that?
I do remember the Intertoto Cup.
In 1996, so very early Intertoto Cup, failing to progress from a group containing the mysterious Kamaz Nabrezhnye Chelny of Russia, who apparently still exist. But
oh, really? Because I was like, that's sort of that club's gone bust 10 times.
Spartak Varna, who have gone bust now, LKS Łódź and 1860 Munich. So not a massive surprise they didn't make it out of that group. That's a fairly tough
I was going to say that's a lot of second and third tier teams these days, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, but yeah, that's the odd and surreal and briefly pastry based history of SFC Opava.
That is mad.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't have really a thing to that. Just the idea that you can run a football club like Sim City is good. They're certainly not Sin City. That's entirely different. But yeah, that was very interesting and well-researched. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Shall we do a preview?
I was going to say, now you were going to something that wasn't well-researched. Hey. It's the previews.
Pre-Bram, you will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Yeah, we probably should. They still haven't unblocked us from Twitter
no.
or X.com or whatever you know, your political flavour is. This is the game that I look forward to least in the season, with the exception of the same fixture away from home. Not really because of the whole history that we have. And I think it's too dull if you're a regular listener to go again into the history that we have with Příbram. But just the fact that they are unbelievably dull games that we have with them.
Mm.
So we've got the better of them as of late in terms of, you know, I think we got... two wins and two draws and no losses in the last four since the playoffs. Both of the draws, by the way, were one each, and both of those matches we'd taken the lead, so plus a change. But yeah, I'm not really looking forward to this one. Last season, Příbram finished third. They were subsequently dispatched in the playoffs by Pardubice, a side that weren't very good, to be honest. They're experiencing a slow start here with five losses from their first 11 games, and they're currently in ninth place. But as you said earlier on in this podcast, that pack of teams from about fourth to 10th is very, very close indeed. So there's actually a difference of 3 points between them and us. So just a mad league table, as always, for this second tier. You know, they've been dumped out of the cup by Domažlice, which was funny.
Yeah.
And then they were beat by a pretty poor Sigma B side immediately after. But since then, they've gone on a 3-win streak. They're coming into this encounter with good form. Compare that to us, where we've lost our last three in all competitions. I guess the most interesting return will be that this will be a return to Srpska for Jakub Nečas.
Ah.
Was quietly transferred to them in July. Yeah,
no time to lose.
Yes, he has played the majority of minutes for the side this season so far. It's a very new Příbram side than the one that you'll be used to, because Příbram always had just like the same players for 5 years. Yep. That was just what they did. But they brought in a bunch of new recruits from various B teams and from further afield. So the most eye-catching of this, and you might know who this is Josef Hushbauer.
Yeah, name rings a bell, sort of veteran.
Yes, so former Sparta, Slavia, Banik, Cagliari and Dinamo Dresden.
Yeah, lovely.
Player. 21 caps for the Czech Republic. None of those caps have come, surprisingly, for a while. The reason that Příbram are able to get a player like that is that he was playing at, I have to get this one right, Enosi Neon Ipsona Digenis Ipsona, which appear to be a mid-table team in the Cypriot second division.
Right.
So he spent...
It's like, Josef, we'll give you a flat in Prague and a car if you come and play for us.
All the halloumi you can eat, you know. So, you know, come on you, Enosi Neon Ipsona Digenis Ipsona. 3 years he's been in Cyprus at this point, so I think he's just been sunning himself up.
Yeah, he's having a lovely time.
Arguably in the twilight of his career, 33 years old.
Arguably.
Playing, you know, second tier in
Cyprus.
And I can't imagine the second tier in Cyprus is that good. So coming over here, you know, and just seeing out your career seems to be fine. And they've obviously been doing a bit of scouting there as well, because they've also got, there's also a team called Karmiotissa. And I'm told they play in the top league of Cypriot football. So here comes Theodoros Andronikou.
Good.
So there.
I'm sure he does.
There's some interesting ones they've got this time. So they've got German-born Filipino player Oliver Bias. He's a former Nitra and RB Leipzig under-19s player who's capped 11 times for the Philippines.
Right.
And is on loan from Persija Jakarta.
Amazing.
There's more. Ngosa Sunzu is a year-long loan from Teplice. He has 3 caps for Zambia under 23.
Lovely.
You've also you've got a guy called Vinny Nkwinga as well, who's got 2 goals from 10 appearances. He's not capped, but he's 18, so it could be one for the future. So like I said, he's got 2 goals from 10 appearances, and that might be the concern here. Because they don't have a dedicated or sort of settled attack just yet. So when your top goal scorer is a centre-back, I always feel that's a concern. When your centre-back has 3. And again, you know, this is now a very continental team. The centre-back in question being dual Norwegian-Bosnian player Hasan Jahic, who also came in this year. And all of those have been headed goals, so very much a centre-back in the true sense of the word.
This is very much somebody scoring 2 against us on Friday, isn't it?
Oh, this is very much, 3 headed goals from a centre-back. I see the bright lights flashing in front of me that just say, set piece, yep, set piece, yep, yep. Set piece. And what have we traditionally been fucking shite in defending?
Yeah. All of them banged in by Kuba Nechas. For that lad's massive head,
this will be it. It's going to be a new look Příbram team. So, and I'll be honest, life's too short for me to go through previous highlights of Příbram for this podcast.
Honza
sorry,
Nechas,
listener.
Sorry. Put that right. Honza Nechas.
Okay. Sure. To put something right as well from earlier, it's 5:30 on Thursday as well. So we're
fair enough.
So there's not even a good excuse to get out of work a little bit earlier. So, yeah, I don't really know what to expect from this game. What I expect is it to be okay weather. That's the one thing.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I would love a win. I just don't... It's hard to sort of talk about the team and what to expect from this when we just don't know what our own squad's going to be looking like yet.
Yeah, I have literally nothing to add at this point about that.
In that case, I think it's probably time for a drink.
I think it is too. Beep, 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 beep.
Beer of the podcast.
Yes, that's right. It's Beer of the Podcast, and we continue Fraser's 3 Beer Odyssey. We did 3 of them last
week. Thanks for saving us money, Fraser, that we can plow into... Well, so David can plow into Facebook advertising.
Which I haven't done for a long time, actually.
Good. But, stop spending money for that weird plasticine man's meta dream.
Right, okay. Anyway, what have we got? We have got something...
Is it a Pivo with a W?
Well, yes, it's a Polish... job from Broru Jabłonowa, from the town of Jabłonowa.
Uh-huh.
I checked on the back.
Something in your throat there.
Well, it's that weird Polish, not quite as harsh and...
The L with the...
With a line through it.
Wuh,
wuh, wuh. Yeah, it's not... It's not quite an L, it's not quite a W, but oh man. And it is a piwo na miodzie.
So it's a honey beer.
It's a honey beer, yes. Again, the slight similarities between Czech and Polish coming through there, and also the fact it's got a picture of a jar of honey on the label, giving it slightly away. But yes, here we are. It is 5.2%.
That's very consistently Polish. I don't think I've ever seen a beer under 5.
And it is very dark. Basically, it looks, if you shine light through it, it looks like... very, very dark honey. It's the same colour as that very, very dark honey that you sometimes
get. I get it.
You know, there's a slight...
Because it...
You know...
Oh, now you hold it up to the light. Yeah. Yes.
There's a slight kind of thick golden-looking sort of deal to it.
Because otherwise it looks like a bitter.
Yeah, and if you smell it... It smells incredibly strongly of honey.
Oh, it does as well.
Yeah.
It smells exactly like honey.
Yes.
Are you a honey fan?
I quite like honey, like, occasionally if I'm ill and I have it in tea. I went through a phase of having it on toast.
Yes, people do have a phase of having it on toast.
Yeah, but, like, I don't really use it in my everyday life.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some in the cupboard.
Yeah.
But it's not something I would think of as an ingredient I would use. But anyway, let's have a Let's have a lovely go on this.
Cheers. To the bees.
Good Christ, that's
oh, it's
sweet.
So sweet.
Oh, dear me. Why did they make them head bee guy? I actually slightly gagged there slightly.
It tastes like it's full of sugar. Do 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 do. Oh,
so honey, honey.
Do 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 do.
Oh,
it is just it's sugar water.
Yeah. It tastes of honey at the start and then just a throat full of like demerara sugar.
My 13-year-old cousin would fucking love that. Because it's just sugar. And he'd go buzzing around the around the
it's
room.
Too sweet.
It is too
it's
sweet.
It's too sweet.
And the fact that it doesn't actually taste of beer at all, it doesn't taste of anything except for sugar.
Yeah, it tastes of demerara sugar and honey dumped in some water.
That is the classic. You know, if you go into like a crafty sort of bar, you order a drink and you have one go of it and you go, oh, glad I just got the wee one of it rather than the big pint, because that would be...
I'm sorry, that's going down the sink. I'm sorry, phrase. That's...
I will soldier on with it just because it's hard work being a bee. And you
don't
know
mind.
It's a thankless no it's a thankless task being a bee as well.
Look after the bees, everyone, we need them.
Yes, very good band back in the day as well. I quite like the bees
they were alright.
But yeah, so that's I guess that's your beer of the podcast. It was very sweet.
Yeah, dear me. Who are we playing in the next away game?
We are away to Victoria Zhizhkov, David.
Sweet.
You know where you get a good pint?
Where do you get a good pint?
You get a good pint at Metsky Futbolovy Stadion Zhizhkov, or whatever it's called. Because that's a pretty nice crisp lager.
Yeah, bring us that breakfast menu, I say.
Wait, and you will get the breakfast menu because it is at the traditional time of 10:15 on a Sunday.
I'm really looking forward to it as well.
It's a trip to Prague 3, and I'm going to, no promises made, but see if I can get along to this one, because... it's quite close to payday, but also I need to put some money aside for my gyros budget as well.
And your plumbing.
That's true. Oh, God. He comes at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I have zero idea how much it's going to cost.
So, listener, Sam's trip to Prague will be based on... We'll keep you informed.
Yeah. Can everyone at home just pray that it's a 200 crown replace the washer job?
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're fucked. So we're making the trip to Prague 3 to take on one of Czech football's most historic and storied teams.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the potted history of them.
Yes,
in the next episode.
I don't want to preempt it for anyone, but there's a hell of a lot to talk about when you talk about Viktoria Zhizhkov. Stormed their way back to FNL football by winning their division by a comfortable margin of 12 points, scored 66 goals, and then, you know, just dismantled Domažlice in Prague in the return leg of the playoff after a goalless first leg. For those who don't know, it's slightly different over in Bohemia. So the third tier of football in Bohemia is split into an A and a B league, and then the winners of those leagues play off against each other for the Bohemian spot in the second division. They're 11th with 12 points. Fun team. I mean, fun so far. They are scoring plenty goals. They've scored more than us. They've got 20.
I mean, everyone's scored more than us.
There's a few that haven't, but they concede plenty as well, though. But that's the thing about Zhizhkov. They've kept one clean sheet.
Lovely stuff.
Season. Time will tell. It's too early if they're going to have enough to stay clear of the relegation places. What would be a good sign is that Varnsdorf still don't have a win. Prostějov are looking really poor. And looking into it a little bit, newly promoted teams have a decent record of staying in the division. So in the last 5 years, there's been only two teams from a possible 10 that have gone straight back down after one season. And here is, of course, your quiz question, David. Can you name those two teams?
Crikey, probably not.
Enjoy your edit.
No, this is just cutting a massive chunk out. This is easy enough. No, I'm drawing a blank here.
Nope, okay. So what last season, Slavia Prague B...
Oh, come on.
They're a team that got promoted and then went down after a season.
Yeah.
The one that I think you'll kick yourself over is Blansko.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, because Blansko came up and then they gave it a good fight, dropped back down, and then the club almost collapsed. So the odds are in favour of Viktoria Žižkov staying up just on that. Perhaps sensibly, they seem to have cut quite a lot of players loose in the off-season. You know, although there is a gap between the top of the third tier and the bottom of the second, it is significantly less than what you would see at the bottom of the first league and the National League. So, and there are limitations to lower league squads as well. I have not had a look into this whatsoever, but I assume that dropping down a division also meant that Žižkov probably operated on a hybrid where they would have some of their players still on a full-time salary and full-time full-time players, but then you would have others who actually have other jobs and things like that as well. There was only, I think in recent years, only been one team that actually had a hybrid or a part-time model who were up in the second division. That was actually Lishen. And they very quickly realised that they couldn't do that.
Yep.
So they're back to being they are now a proper full-time team. So they got rid of a lot of like these sorts of players, and that's why if you look down the list on transfer market, I'm not really going to bore everyone with this, but you see a lot of players who have transferred to Kralov Dvor, Slovan Felvari, Klumets, and and teams like that. Teams have a decent enough standard in the ČFL, but where you can just work in your office and go train on a Thursday or whatever and play at the weekend. They've gone totally B team crazy in signings though as well. So they've made a total of 8 transfers from B teams.
Lovely.
Most of them from Sparta B. Yep. So they're picking up the ones that have just been cut off. The only one who isn't a B team player that I thought was of any interest whatsoever is Marek Richter, who we have talked about on this podcast before, though a couple of years ago. And he's a solid centre back, comes in from Varnsdorf. This could possibly explain why Varnsdorf aren't winning a lot. But actually, what Žižkov have done remarkably well is they've kept a nucleus of players that actually made not just a promotion-winning team so successful, but one from a few years ago that made them quite a stable team. So you have, Václav Prošek, Radek Voltor, David Sixta.
Crikey, yeah.
David Sixta's still going. He's been there for a few seasons now.
I had no idea that Radek Voltor was still going. Yeah. Dear me, yeah. That's a blast from the past.
So he's there. Augusto Batioja is still there as well. The Ecuadorian player who we have talked about on this podcast before. He's now been there for 5 seasons.
That is incredible for a team at this level whose player churn generally in lower league is ridiculous in this country. So, staying there for 5 years and also like not being Czech as well, like coming from the other side of the world and still being in the same place after 5 years as a footballer in the second league.
Yeah.
And bouncing around, that is praiseworthy.
If you are international as well, there's worse places to be than Prague.
But
also, and he's getting banded around the team somewhat. He played up top the last game that they had. So it's very weird that you had someone, they played this sort of like a 4-5-1, but it was like a 4-1-4-1 sort of thing. And he was just absolutely alone at the top. He's still leading the team in assists. So it's one of these ones like that. He's more of a winger, really, Batioja. So interesting squad, interesting team. And again, very, very light on how Zborovka will perform. We'll have to see what happens at the weekend because we could very much be turning up with you having to kit off, kit up even, and sort of jump on for the last 10 minutes. We'll wait and see. But yeah. Certainly, if you can make it a good game, a good stadium to go to, a real classic of Czech football, I would say.
Yeah, if you are in, I'm going to use the classic in and around Prague at that time. That is absolutely a belting away game to get involved with, and hopefully, for the next episode of the pod, we will have you know, some extra content, possibly of Rabbits Review. We haven't done one of those for a long time, but
places have stopped making Rabbits, man. I swear, well, like I can't find it anymore.
Well, I actually did record one in Tabor, but I felt I was standing on your toes, so we never used it.
I'm not precious about this, but the problem is that you now can't use it because it's weird.
Yeah. Also, the Rabbits was shite, so there you go. We didn't use it because of that either. But yeah, for this episode of Sporovcast, listener, thank you very much. We hope we informed, educated, and entertained, in the words of Lord Rees. don't know where that came from, but there you go.
Sure.
And if you have anything to say, get in touch with us on the socials at Sporovcast. And good luck with the honey beer there, Sam.
Bzzzai. Šakali hrál tu píseň svou hochu, u tebe stál ten soudnej. Bye. Dlouhá noc a divnej sen.